Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting, talented, inventive, creative players of this game. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sheena Hancock, and seated on my left, Ross Noble and Tony Hawks. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp. She'll help me with a score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House. And we're going to begin the show this week with Tony Hawks. Tony, subject is A Great Adventure. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I had a great adventure about a decade or so ago when I put a fridge by the side of the road in Ireland and decided to hitchhike around that country. I couldn't have expected it to go as well as it did, but these people embraced me, took me to their hearts. The silliness of it all somehow seemed to make them want to shower me with generosity. And I would advise everybody here, if they are feeling a little bit stuck, perhaps in a little rut in their particular walk of life at the moment, haven't found a career they're happy with, take a white good, place it by the side of the road, embrace...
Tony Chas.
Repetition of road, side of the
yes,
road.
Yes, the road, because you went on the road, didn't you?
I did.
Nevertheless, very sound advice in this economic climate.
And the way I had to, boys, because the way he was going to start signing his book.
Oh, did you manage to get a book out of it, Tony?
I've got some merchandise for sale, if anyone did.
So that was a correct challenge, Ross. And in this game, whoever correct challenge gets a point for that. So Ross Noble has a point, and he has a subject. He has 23 seconds, a great adventure, starting now.
I'm hoping to have a great adventure 1 week from today. My plan is to ride from Cape Town up through Namibia and across to Victoria Falls. I haven't yet got a map for the Skeleton Coast, but I'm planning on buying a picture of Victoria Beckham.
Sheena Chan.
I think he had two
plannings. He's planning, yes.
It's the only planning I've done, so, yeah. Go on.
So, Sheena, you had a correct challenge. You get a point for that. And you have 8 seconds. Tell us something about a great adventure starting now.
Peter Pan thought that death was a really big adventure, so I hope he's right, because I'm getting nearer to it every minute.
That round of applause when she said, I'm getting near to him. And then they all clap. And actually, all for speaking as the whistle went, you got another point for that. So you're
Am
in
I
the
winning?
Lead. You're
I'm
in the lead.
Let's stop. Right.
And we'd like you to take the next round as well.
Oh, God.
The subject is memoirs.
Oh.
Tell us something about memoirs in this game, starting now.
I understand there's a difference between memoirs and autobiography, the latter being more a history of the life, from birth to death, whereas...
Paul Challenge.
No, it's the last time I said death.
Yeah, no, just an autobiography can't really be a history of your life to death. It was assumed you'd be... because you don't know when you're going to die. When you're writing your autobiography.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Unless you sort of leave the last word until you really know. And you might be sitting there for years just wanting to write the word aubergine and then...
The last bit gets finished by a ghostwriter.
Yes!
No, you can't wriggle out of it like that.
That was a curious mixture of groaning and clapping.
A biography, yes, but not an
autobiography. Right, no, you're right.
So well interpreted, Paul, and you now have the subject of memoirs. 50 seconds available starting now.
I'm thinking of doing my memoirs. By the time you reach your sixth decade, you should perhaps consider laying down your life's achievements, but I haven't got many, so I better start doing stuff. It occurred to me the other day that some of the greatest memoirs ever written that featured in cinema...
Ross Challenge.
Oh, hesitation. Yeah.
Yes, there definitely was. Yeah. So, Ross, you have the subject. You have a point for that, of course. And there are 35 seconds. Tell us something about memoirs starting now.
I've started my memoirs. I've written 57 pages. I've sat on the couch and scratched my... I can't actually say that, but it is very much...
Sheila Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah, I think there was a hesitation there.
Okay.
So, Sheila, you got the summary back again. 25 seconds, memoirs, starting now.
Memoirs are meant to be occasional memories of events that happened. I have written a book called Just Me, which is like that. It's about a journey and it reminds me of certain things. People like Jordan don't write memoirs. They actually talk to somebody.
Paul Challenge.
A slight hesitation.
A slight hesitation.
Yes. But not really. No.
All right. So it's withdrawn.
How many more seconds have I got?
You've got 10 seconds.
Oh,
you've still got the subject. Memoirs, starting now.
That was a hesitation.
Yes, that was a hesitation.
You didn't want it anymore, did you?
No, I didn't want it. I was very bored.
So, Paul, you have a point, and you have 9 seconds. Memoirs, starting now.
Kind Hearts and Coronets is the movie that features Dennis Price as the magnificent man who commits all these murders but then writes it down.
Oh, wait a minute. Tony Challenge just before the whistle. Yes,
I thought, given that he had only 10 seconds, he was actually just stalling talking about memoirs by giving details about a film, and it was bad.
It's a key plot.
It was bad form, and I think we were all embarrassed for Paul.
So,
not plugging my previous books anyway.
Yeah.
I travelled India with a tandoori oven. I don't go on about it. And then 2 years later, Tony Hawk takes a fridge round Ireland. Well,
Right. So, Paul, benefit of the doubt, you were asking... Remember the last time we were here?
Oh, yes.
With the same team here? Yes. We were talking about benefit of the doubt.
Oh, yes. That was a few weeks ago, though, wasn't
it? I know it was.
You've got a remarkable memory. I really have. You know, I'll tell you what, Nicholas, I'm not going to sign that petition. I'm not going to sign it.
Right. So, this is a perfect example. You get the benefit of the doubt... You still got the subject of memoirs, and you have half a second starting now.
My men!
Right. So, Paul Merton speaking as the whistle wind gained that extra point. He's equal to Sheila Hancock in the lead, and then Ross Noble and Tony Hawks in that order. Ross, will you start the next round? The subject, the joke book. Will you tell us something about the joke book starting now?
The joke book is often sneered at, but I like to think of it as simply a
Tony Challenge.
Slight hesitation.
There was a hesitation, Tony. You have the subject, the joke book. 55 seconds starting now.
The joke book I like the most begins with the joke, what's red and sits in the corner, a naughty strawberry. Now that is comedy at its finest level.
Ross Challenge.
If he thinks that's comedy at his finest level, I feel sorry for him.
Well, I accept your sympathy. But take the point.
Well, as someone who works in comedy, I would agree that is probably deviation from comedy of the finest.
What's red and sits in the corner and naughty? It has love. It works on a number of levels.
Yeah. Name three.
It's charming. It's charming, it's sweet, it's infantile, but it's not comedy of the finest order.
Well, the point is, the best thing about it is in
the
joke...
That's the kind of comedy you like, audience. I'm a bit sorry for you, right?
Maybe we shouldn't be trying to raise their standards too much.
I think I have to give you the benefit of the doubt on this one, Ross, and say there are... 44 seconds, the joke book, starting now.
What's brown and sticky? A brown stick.
Tony Challenge.
I feel sorry for him.
I wouldn't thought it was possible to top the strawberry game. But by goodness, that was good.
Yeah, but he wasn't maintaining that was a joke of the finest order. He just told a joke which was basic and simple and rubbish.
But it's in the book.
So it's an incorrect challenge, Ross. You've still got the joke book, and you've got 42 seconds starting now.
What's yellow and baggy? A yellow bag. That's right.
Oh,
Paul sighed.
Repetition of yellow.
Yes, right. 39 seconds, Paul. The joke book, starting now.
You used to see them advertised in the back of the stage. Maybe they're still there. 100 jokes for a fiver. A friend of mine did one send off for this particular book, and it wasn't very good. There were, however, 2 or 3 jokes amongst the 500 that he thought weren't too bad.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of 5.
No, but he was selling it for a fiver, not 5.
Yeah. If somebody's actually recording this, perhaps we could play it back.
And no, but it wasn't.
Seems a wasted opportunity, really.
It was 101.
Well, yeah,
it
repetition was 100. Of 100 then. 100 as well. He repeated 100. Just repetition generally.
This is like the World Cup, yeah. Isn't it? That goal in the World Cup. We need more technical
So Hawkeye is not available to us on that particular one. Who gets the benefit of the doubt? What about the... Let the audience decide. Yeah. Who should have the benefit of the doubt, Tony or Paul? Oh! That's exactly what I thought, too. So, Paul, you have 25. I should explain to our listeners that last big laugh came because Tony put 2 fingers up to this audience.
Which doesn't work against me in the coming round.
Exactly.
If you do it again, I'll have you for repetition of fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul, there are 24 seconds. You have the joke book starting now.
Are you a bald-headed man or is your neck blowing bubblegum? That was undoubtedly the finest jest contained within these pages. If you thought that was awful, wait till you hear the one about the strawberry that took a life support machine around Scotland and managed to get a book out of it. A man goes into a
Ross Challenge.
Repetition of man.
Yes, you had a man before. So, Ross, you've now got the subject, and there are 4 seconds, the joke book, starting now.
A great big volume of hilarity. That's the best way to...
So, Ross Noble was speaking as the whistle went, gained the next point. He's 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's in the lead, then Sheila Hancock and Tony Hawks in that order. Oh, Paul, I think this has been chosen specially for you. Would you begin on learning to play golf? Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Only about 6 hours ago, I had my very first golf lesson. I mentioned this to the other panellists before coming onto the show. Mr. Ross Noble reacted in such a way as if I'd actually killed a goat on a sacrifice somewhere in the middle of the woods at midnight. He thinks that playing this game of golf is absolutely...
Ross,
was that repetition of game?
Yes, right.
Was it?
45 seconds, Ross. Learning to play golf, starting now.
That's absolutely right. Mr. Paul Merton had the audacity to tell me that he has taken up golf. These dickheads with the tartan... Sorry. Sorry.
With our audience, surely it must be Richard Head.
Sorry.
Sorry, I forgot this was the radio. Sorry. Could have been so much worse. I apologise. Is this the first time in the history of just a minute somebody's blasphemed?
It's not.
No, well, dickhead isn't blasphemed unless you're referring to St. Peter.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't exactly blaspheming. It was just a bit vulgar, which we don't usually have, but usually we let the odd one slip through, which you've managed to achieve on this occasion.
Is that allowed? I wouldn't have stopped if I'd known that.
No, we enjoyed Paul's interjection. So, Paul, you have learning to play golf, 37 seconds, starting now.
It's a pastime. I've looked at it in the past, and perhaps... Pastime's one word, isn't it?
It's supposed to. 33 seconds, Paul. Learning to play golf, starting now.
I've made it specifically difficult for me to learn to play golf because I'm actually playing...
Tony Challenge.
He definitely said actually the first time he kicked off.
You did indeed. So, Tony, you've got in with 28 seconds on learning to play golf, starting now.
The most important thing is to keep your head still. If you move that part of the...
Paul Challenge.
Fine, golf club, surely. That's got to be... And followed quickly by a ball. That's got to be the most important thing, not keeping your head still. I can do that at home. That's not playing golf.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. Paul, we enjoyed your interjection there.
I can see where this is going.
So we're going to give you a bonus point for what you said. Oh. But, I mean, I think we assume that people have got the clubs and that's when you go and learn to play. and it is very important to keep your head still.
Keep your head still.
As Tony said. Yeah. So, Tony, you've got a point for an incorrect challenge, yeah, and you have 24 seconds learning to play golf, starting now.
A useful tip which Paul might like to listen to if he's just taken up the game, as he assures us he has, is not to look to see where the little white thing has gone. Much of the power comes from the hips in the rotation. Write this down. This is brilliant stuff. If you remember...
Paul challenge.
Could you go slower? Rotate hips. Rotate the hips.
All right. So, Paul, we give you another bonus point for that, but we did enjoy it. So, but, Tony, you get a point for an incorrect challenge, learning to play golf, and there are 4 seconds starting now.
It's very much a mental game, too. When you...
Ross, challenge.
Repetition of game.
Yes, because game's not on the card. Mm. And you have mentioned game before.
I think I
probably
did.
So, Ross, you've got in, and I know yes, you don't like the game. So, yeah, what are you going to say?
Yes.
You've only got 2 seconds. Learning to play golf, starting now.
If I'm around, keep your head moving or I'll punch you in the face.
So, at the end of that round, it was Ross Noble speaking as a whistle. When gained that extra point, he's creeping up on Paul Merton, who's in the lead. Then Tony Hawks and Gina Hancock in that order. Tony, when you begin the next round, the green room. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
As you have already heard this evening, we were waiting in the green room before the show and a discussion took place about golf. I noticed that it wasn't particularly green, though, which is often the case with these rooms. Why not, I ask myself, as I go around the theatres of the country where I tell stories sometimes about some of my books, which Paul will no doubt publicise shortly. However, the history is, in fact, because actors used to wait before performances, get very nervous, feel sick, turn green. That's one theory.
Oh, Sheila, what's your challenge?
That's rubbish.
It is the most delightful rubbish, and I'm going to give it to you, Sheila. But on the other hand, most superstitions arise out of all kinds of weird ideas. But, you know, they have no logic in them, most of them. You couldn't care less, could you? Sheila. You have a correct challenge. You have 32 seconds. Tell us something about the green room, starting now.
Nobody truly knows the origin of the phrase. It is suspected it's because in a tragedy there was a green cloth on stage, which is why we also use the phrase, I'll see you,
Tony
phrase.
Challenge.
Yeah, repetition of phrase.
Yeah.
Yes, phrase. Yeah. Tony, you've got it back again. 22 seconds, starting now.
Recently, I painted my front room green. It was a magnificent experience. It's one of my favourite...
Paul Chalmers.
Well, I mean, was it really a magnificent experience? Of all the things that a human being can go through... Painting, which I don't believe you did paint your green, your front room green anyway. From
right,
there, can you
we're
see...
We're all going down there now. Yeah.
Right.
I'm merely establishing the fact that you're not always completely honest with what you're saying. How do we know you went round Ireland with a fridge? Might have been round the Isle of Wight with a pressure cooker. We don't know. We weren't there, were we, Nicholas? We weren't there.
No, I did see him, actually.
Did you? Did you?
So I'm on. Anyway, Paul, this is where you get the benefit of the doubt, because I do agree that
it's not a magnificent experience.
I could have had a magnificent experience. Life. You don't know what happened. I hadn't told you yet.
Okay, all right. I'm prepared to hear what this magnificent experience was made up of.
Very generous of you, Paul. Yes, I was trying to illustrate benefit of the doubt because it could for some reason have been.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to write this down.
This could be the next basis of a show.
It's still not a magnificent experience.
I still haven't finished.
No. 17 seconds starting now.
When Jordan came in.
No, Ross.
Repetition of when Jordan came in. Just said it. Just said it there.
I hadn't given them the cue to start.
My original when Jordan came in was in my spare time.
Yeah. But,
he was admittedly reworking his own material. Yeah. But,
15 seconds, Tony. On the green room, starting now.
The green room in the Albury Theatre, not that far away from us, is...
Where's this magnificent experience? The Albury Theatre, not far away. Where's the magnificent experience?
I'm moving on.
I've got another challenge. It isn't called the Albury anymore. It's called the New.
That's true.
And you said theatre twice, repetition of theatre.
Yeah. But apart from the 8 things wrong with it...
I gave up a challenge for magnificent experience, and I still haven't heard it.
I know. I'm going to give it to Sheila.
Are you?
Are you? Yes. Will that be a magnificent experience?
Oh, after all these years, Nick. After all these years.
And will it be just a minute?
Yeah. This is the game where you can stick your head in a noose, isn't it? There we are. Sheila, you got the subject. The green room, 12 seconds, starting now.
The stage was covered in a green carpet.
Ross challenged.
The repetition of stage.
Stage,
yes. So, Ross, you've gone in with 10 seconds on the green room starting now.
I got a job as a decorator and I had to paint rooms green. In fact, one client...
Paul challenged.
Well, you'll be able to help me here. Did you find it a magnificent experience? Was it just overwhelming?
Yeah. Was it a magnificent experience?
Hand it back and I'll tell you.
Right. Anyway, it was an incorrect challenge. 5 seconds, still with you, Ross. The green room starting now.
Imagine my surprise when I turned up to Tony Hawk's house and there was Jordan standing outside. I could not believe my eyes as I walked through.
So Ross Noble was again speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point. He's equal in the lead with Paul Merton, and the other two are training just a little. Sheila, we'd like you to begin the next round, and the subject is my burning desire. Oh, God, after what I've said. My burning desire, starting now.
Well, I'd better pursue this. My burning desire is to have a minute with Nick. After many years on this programme, I never have, and this is the obvious opportunity to have a magnificent experience. On top of that, I would like to be an orchestral player. I've always loved the idea of doing a Mahler symphony, playing one of the many violin parts, or a quartet at the Wigmore Hall. I don't want to be a star player because...
Ross challenge.
Repetition of player.
Yes, I want to be a player, right. 36 seconds, Ross, on my burning desire, starting now.
My burning desire is to dress up as Nicholas Parsons and surprise Sheila when she least expects it. That's right.
Oh, Sheila challenge.
Deviation. Right. I absolutely don't want him turning up dressed up as Nicholas Parsons. I want to put a stop to it now.
Right.
This goes any
further. I think that is a deviation because, I mean, coming along as Nicholas Parsons, and it wouldn't surprise you.
And you're already there. Yeah, I would be so confused.
It's worked before, Nicholas.
It wouldn't surprise you. Because you'd see through it immediately, wouldn't you?
I would.
I mean, I haven't got as much hair as him for a start.
No.
Sheila, you have the benefit of the doubt.
No.
Yes, you have.
Have I?
Well, if she doesn't want it.
22 seconds. I've been talking about my burning desire for hours.
I know.
It can't only be 22 seconds. No. Surely your watch is wrong.
No, it's not my watch. So, you have 22 seconds. My burning desire, Sheila, starting now.
I would...
challenge.
Well, I feel that Sheila doesn't really want the subject anymore.
Yes, I do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, well.
I'll have that extra point.
Oh, OK. Right.
21 seconds.
I just thought every time you said, oh, my God, how much longer is it?
So, Sheila, 20 seconds now on my burning desire, starting now.
I would play quartets at the Wigmore... Oh, I said that, haven't
challenge.
I?
Yes,
it's quartets at the Wigmore Hall again.
Yeah, yeah. But that is my burning desire. Yeah. That is my idea.
So, Ross, you've gone in with the correct challenge now. Another point to you. 17 seconds, my burning desire, starting now.
I have a burning desire, but luckily I was able to get antibiotics from my friendly doctor... And it cleared up in no time whatsoever. I remember the time where I was down at the Wigmore Hall, hanging around outside, waiting for Sheila to come by, where I could make her dreams come true by pushing her through the...
And we are entering the final round. Let me give you the situation as we go into that final round. In reverse order, Tony Hawks is trailing a little... he's two behind Sheila Hancock, and she's two behind Paul Merton, and he's three behind Ross Noble. I don't know.
Ooh. Ooh. Don't sound so surprised. Ooh, the idiot's done well.
No. No, they were taking on the drama that I was trying to build up. And, Ross, we'd like you to begin this round. It's If I Were a Robot. Can you... I don't know how you take that, but talk on it. 60 seconds starting now.
If I were a robot, then I wouldn't need to wrap my legs in tinfoil as I do every night, moving around my living room, pretending to be one of those particular machines. I talk in a voice robotic like this, and it really does entertain the children and scare animals. I place two torches either side of my head.
Tony challenge.
A repetition of two.
Yes, right. So Tony's got the subject. 41 seconds on If I Were a Robot, Tony, starting now.
If I Were a Robot is the opening song of a new updated version of Fiddler on the Roof, which I saw not that long ago. Quite a magnificent evening was had by all who went to see...
Paul Towns.
I don't trust your use of the word magnificent. We've had issues about this before. I don't know that the rewrite of Fiddler on the Roof, I Am a Robot, necessarily constitutes a magnificent evening in the theatre.
The thing is, though, Paul, you see...
I agree with you in the same way that it wasn't a magnificent experience with his green...
Not allowed to have any magnificent experiences anymore?
Well, have them, just don't describe ordinary ones as being magnificent.
Well, they may be ordinary to you. I'm fantastically easily pleased. I'm having a magnificent time now.
Paul, let's be fair to Tony. It may be rubbish to most of us.
Yes.
But he thought it was magnificent.
Yes.
So if that's his particular attitude, have to let him have his way, doesn't it? So, Tony, you have the subject, If I Were a Robot, and there are 29 seconds starting now.
I would go round people's houses, break down the door and take away their remote controls because they would...
Paul Towns.
Hesitation.
Yeah, I think that was a hesitation, yes. 21 seconds starting now.
If I were a robot, I would wander around my house doing simple household duties. I would look at the sink and think to myself, those plates are rather dirty. I shall go into washing up the dishes mode. And simply a button would be pressed on my chest. My antennae would flow around with electrical ions, and then I would go to work. Being a robot...
Right. So Paul brought that round to an end magnificently, gained that extra point for doing so.
Well, it's a controversial word, magnificent. If you're saying that my contribution is equal to paint drying...
Well, this is the man that's about to get his excitement playing golf.
So, equal in third place were Tony Hawks and Sheila Hancock. But you were only 2 or 3 points behind Paul Merton, who was in second place. But 1 point ahead of him was Ross Noble. So we say, Ross, you are our winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine, delightful and wonderfully humorous players of this game. We also thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She'd blown her whistle most elegantly when the 60 seconds have elapsed. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're also indebted to our producer, to Lucia Galani, who steered us on our way. From this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre, thank you for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed it all. But don't forget, tune in again the next time we take to the air and we play Just a Minute! Yay!